Certainly appreciate Tatiana's playing with us this morning. She's having an exciting year with graduating this year, coming up soon. Certainly also appreciate all of our other musicians. Some mornings are more of a struggle than others, but we continue on. One of the things, I have kind of a show and tell. One of the things we like to do around our house is to put puzzles together. I don't know how many of you like putting together jigsaw puzzles, but this is one of the puzzles that we put together, and this was particularly difficult to put together because it's a mosaic puzzle, and each piece of the puzzle is a different picture. If you look closely at each piece, it's a different picture, and it's not until you put it all together that it comes into focus. And I really appreciate Eagles, and so we put this one together. And there were some moments that I didn't know if we were going to get this one put together or not, because it was so difficult. And of course, at the end, you wonder if you're missing a piece or two, which of course ruins the whole thing. But you know what? Life is like a jigsaw puzzle sometimes. You're putting the pieces together, and what something is going to be or not be doesn't become clear until more of the pieces are put together. And so this morning we're talking about, we're continuing our T-minus 40 message series about those 40 days between Jesus' resurrection and his ascension. And it was during that time that Jesus was helping the disciples put the pieces together. He was helping them understand what he had done on the cross, and he was helping them understand how they could put their lives together as they would be the group of people that would start the worldwide movement known as the church. And the thing that we've been looking at over these weeks is that he was not only helping them put things together, he was helping us put things together as we read his word and as we look into his word and we understand what it has to say for us. He had, during those 40 days, he had a clear message for the church, but he also has a clear message for us today. And so we're talking about putting the pieces together, and you can tell that's present in some things. We're putting the pieces together even in our service this morning as we strive to worship our great God. We're starting to put some pieces together in our church with our new members class starting today. We're starting to put some things in place, and what God is doing is he's creating a beautiful picture, and at some point we'll be able to stand back and go, you know what, I was part of that. I was one of those pieces that God put together. I was part of that thing that God was doing at First Baptist Monticello. And so I'd ask you to open your Bibles to Luke. We are going to look at Luke chapter 24, and this is an account of Jesus appearing to two of his disciples as they were walking along the road, and the message that Jesus had for them is a message that we can learn from and be encouraged by today. And so we'll be reading from Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 13. And once you've found your place, please stand in honor of the reading of God's word. Luke 24, starting at verse 13. And as we read this, imagine what it must have been like for those early disciples. They had followed Jesus. They had seen Jesus betrayed and tried and crucified. He was put in the tomb, and now the body's gone. And he has risen from the grave, and these guys are walking along like we're going to read in a second. And they are talking about what has happened, and Jesus shows up. And I am praying and hoping that Jesus will show up in our midst here this morning as we read his word. Luke 24:13 says, "Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked, 'What are you discussing together as you walk along?' They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, 'Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that had happened there in these days?' 'What things?' he asked. 'About Jesus of Nazareth,' they replied. 'He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all of this took place. In addition, some of the women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the opportunity you've given us to gather on this Sunday around your word, the time that we've had to worship your name. And Father, I pray that you would speak to us now through your word as we look into what you would say to us today. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you imagine these two disciples walking along and they're talking about everything that they had seen? The wonder of it all, the terror, the tragedy, and then replaced by wonder, and there was question. Where was Jesus? The women had come back. The disciples said his body wasn't there. And now they're walking along. They're making this 7-mile trip to Emmaus. And they're walking along and they're just talking about it. And then Jesus walks up alongside of them and they can't tell that it's him. They were kept from noticing who it was. And Jesus asked them, who are you talking about? And then they say, man, do you not know what's been going on in Jerusalem? Everybody knows what's happening here, that Jesus, we had hoped he was the one and he was a great prophet. He was betrayed and he was tried and he was crucified, and now his body has gone missing. You see, what they were doing was they were starting to put the pieces together. They had experienced something that they had never experienced before. They had followed Jesus and they had been on this emotional roller coaster, and the events of these days had troubled them and delighted them, and they were wondering what on earth is going on. And they talked about that as they walked along to Emmaus. And that was, of course, the main mode of transportation back then was walking. And so this 7-mile trip to Emmaus was something that was common. They would just give themselves enough time to walk to the next place. Jesus, as he traveled around, he traveled mostly by walking and talking and teaching his disciples as they walked along. And so Jesus comes up alongside of them and has this conversation, having a conversation with Jesus. And the first thing I want you to notice there on your message notes, and I hope that you'll follow along, is that Jesus walks with us. Jesus is with us as we walk along and as we live our lives. Jesus is right there in our midst, and he walks along with us. And that's important for us to understand, because as we put the pieces of our lives together, and as we see the picture that is unfolding in front of us, we need to understand that Jesus is walking along with us. And so whatever journey you're on right now, maybe it's a medical journey, maybe it's a financial journey, whatever is troubling your heart, whatever is going on in your life, you can walk through those days with Jesus. These guys were concerned about what had happened. They didn't understand it all, but Jesus was right there in their midst. They are described as disciples. They were believers in Jesus. And as they're concerned about this and as they're downcast, when Jesus first asks them what they're talking about, listen to how this scripture talks about even their body position. They stood still. They're walking along and Jesus asks them this question about what they're talking about, and they stop. I mean, this question troubled them. They stopped, and with their faces downcast towards the ground, one of them says, are you the only one around that doesn't know what's going on? And this was troubling to them. And Jesus was walking right alongside of them. They were downcast. Their face was down to the ground, and they were troubled. They didn't know how to put the pieces together. But there Jesus was, walking with them, helping them put the pieces together. Listen, we don't go, as believers in Christ, we don't go through the different parts and seasons of our life alone. Jesus is with us. He's walking with us. He's there with us when we go through various trials, and when we go through temptations and we go through just the different seasons of life, He's right there with us. And it's important to understand that Jesus walks with you. There in your message notes, I put the Great Commission. And the Great Commission, of course, is when Jesus is commissioning the disciples to take the message, the good news about Jesus, to the world, when He says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." We're familiar with that, but listen to this last sentence. And this is strength to carry out the commission, but this is also strength to live. And He says, "And surely I am with you to the very end of the age." Listen, you can know that Jesus has not forsaken you, that Jesus has not turned His back on you, that He is with you. He walks with you, just like He walked with these disciples and helped them put the pieces together. He will walk with you and help you put the pieces together of your life. And listen, as you walk with Jesus and He's putting that puzzle together, it's not just an ordinary puzzle. It's a masterpiece that He is putting together that is your life as you submit yourself to Him and as you rely on Him and as you place your faith in Him. You know, the subject of Jesus walking with us, some of you feel like Jesus is distant from you and you don't feel His presence and you don't feel Him guiding you and comforting you and helping you put the pieces together. And listen, my friend, if Jesus is distant from you, it's because you have left Him, not that He has left you. He said that He would never forsake us, that He would never leave us. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me, is what Jesus said. So maybe this morning, if you don't have that assurance that Jesus is walking right with you through whatever circumstance that you're in, maybe it's time for you to say, "Jesus, I've walked away from you. I'm living far from you based on my life. And I want to come back. I want to walk with you." And He will turn that downcast, sad position sometimes we find ourselves in, and He'll help us walk through those and turn that in an opportunity for us to exercise our faith and give glory to God. Because all things work together for good for those who love Him and have been called according to His purpose. And so the details of our lives as He walks with us become opportunities for us to trust Him. And so Jesus has come alongside these disciples and He's helping them put things together. The next thing I want you to notice here on your message notes is that Jesus meets you where you are. Jesus meets you exactly where you are. He wasn't waiting for these disciples to put things together and then meet with them. He wasn't waiting for them to clean up their lives or figure out what was going on before He would meet with them and help them put things together. He meets us right where they are, just like He met these gentlemen right where they were. Jesus meets us right where we are in the midst of the circumstances that we find ourselves in. He meets us where we are. And that's great news for us. Because if you're sitting here this morning and you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, Jesus isn't saying to you this morning, "Hey, clean up your life and do all of these things differently, and then you'll be acceptable to me and I'll be your Savior." He's not saying that at all. He's saying, "Come to me exactly as you are." He's saying, "Come to me and let me help you deal with the circumstances in your life." If you're a believer in Christ today, and you're struggling and you're putting some pieces together, Jesus doesn't say to you, "Hey, figure all that out on your own. You should know better than this," or "You shouldn't have got into this circumstance." He doesn't say that at all. He says, "I'm with you. I'll meet you at the point of your need. I'll meet you right where you are." You see, we so quickly take it on ourselves to be the change agents in our life rather than saying, "Jesus, meet me where I am and invade my life and change my life," because He will meet us right where we are. And He will move into our lives and He will change our lives from the inside out as we trust Him and as we place our faith in Him. And so Jesus meets us where we are. That was true in my life when I was wondering about the purpose of life and that there had to be more than working 40 hours a week and there had to be more than just finding some fun to have on the weekends. There had to be more to this life than this. Jesus met me right at that moment, right at that need of me trying to figure out what this life was all about. Jesus says, I'll show you the way. I'll help you put the pieces back together again. Jesus meets us right where we are, and he did this with these gentlemen as they are walking along, as these disciples are walking along. I say gentlemen, one commentator that I read thought that this might be a man, Cleophas, and his wife walking along. And that changes the whole story in my mind. If a husband and wife are walking along talking about this and Jesus comes up, that may be, this commentator thought, that may be why the other disciple was not named. It was Cleophas and his wife, and they were both disciples and both followers of Jesus. We don't know, it doesn't say, but they're walking along and Jesus meets them right where they are on their journey. And it's interesting to me what they say about Jesus, and this reminds me of that passage where Peter makes his great proclamation about Jesus. In verse 19, they say, about Jesus of Nazareth, they replied, he was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. That is their description of Jesus, and that is not all that Jesus is. That's certainly part of who Jesus is, but Jesus is the Savior of the world. He's the Messiah. And they miss that. They don't describe Jesus in those terms. And that reminds me, as Jesus is walking with his disciples and he asks them this question, who do the people say I am? Jesus asked them. And then they said, some say Elijah, some say a prophet. And then he looks at the disciples and says, who do you say I am? And then Peter, the outspoken one, the impulsive one, steps up to the plate and absolutely hits a home run where he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus awards that answer with saying to Peter that upon that truth of who Jesus is, that Jesus would build his church and the very gates of hell would not stand against it. That's a moment like this that's going on. Jesus has asked them this question about what is it you're talking about? And they've fallen a little short of describing and giving Jesus the praise and the description of really who he is. He's more than a prophet. He certainly was powerful in God, before God and the people. That's absolutely true. But they don't mention that he is the Savior, that he is the Messiah. And so, even though their understanding is not exactly where it needs to be, he meets them right where they are. And he's going to help them get from where they are to where they need to be. And isn't that a comforting thought, that God loves us so much that he meets us and he accepts us right where we are, but he loves us so much that he doesn't leave us in that place. He doesn't leave us in our misunderstanding of who he is. He doesn't leave us in that place where we're going to trust ourselves. He takes us and loves us right where we are and then loves us so much, he's going to lead us and take us to the place that we need to be. And that's what he did with these disciples. He meets them where they are. And down in verse 25, this is where I stopped reading this morning, he says something kind of firm to them. Listen to verse 25. He said to them, how foolish you are and how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer? And see, he is saying, did not Jesus, the Messiah, have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all of Scripture concerning himself. Now, what an amazing moment that must have been for these two disciples. They're walking along and they're talking to this stranger that has come up. And the stranger says, how foolish you are that you haven't put these pieces together. And I think that's kind of a little too strong for what Jesus is saying to them. I think they were being unwise. Because if I'm walking along with someone and someone says, man, you're a fool, all of a sudden, man, that conversation's going to start going a different direction. But Jesus is saying, you know some of the story, you know the details, you've got the description right, but you're unwise because the result of you understanding those facts about Jesus has not led you to the right place. And Jesus, loving them and not leaving them there, he opens up the scripture to them, and he starts with the prophets and how the Bible foretold of this Savior, this Messiah, would come. And he opens up that, listen, I wish we had access to that lesson. Wouldn't it be amazing for Jesus if we had that written down somehow, and Luke chose not to include it in there as inspired by the Holy Spirit. But listen, wouldn't that be amazing if we could read what Jesus said to them as he opened up the scripture and he mentioned the prophets and the Old Testament times, and it all coming to fulfillment in the person of Jesus Christ. And that's the next thing there on your message notes, is that Jesus completed God's redemption plan as revealed by the scripture. Jesus was the completion of God's plan to redeem creation from sin. And so he opens up the scripture, and beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all of scripture concerning himself. What an amazing message that was. And we need to understand that it's Jesus that completed this redemption plan. There's not another Messiah coming. There's not another way to the Father. It's through Jesus. He is the one. He's the one that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me, Jesus says. Jesus completed that plan. And as Jesus is helping these disciples put the pieces together, who Jesus is became the most important piece. It was the cornerstone of what's important to understand about life and faith, is that Jesus is the fulfillment of God's plan. And who you believe Jesus to be is the foremost of importance in your relationship with God. Jesus is the central person in God's redemption plan, and we need to understand that he was born of a virgin, that he lived a perfect life, that he died on the cross to pay for our sin, and he was placed in that borrowed tomb, but he didn't stay in that tomb. He was risen. He was raised back to life. And it's through that life that we can be forgiven of our sins. Listen to this verse, Ephesians 1, 7 and 8. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Jesus is how we can be redeemed. We can be bought back with the price that Jesus paid on the cross. And so Jesus is saying, yes, I was a prophet. Yes, I was powerful with God and with man, but that's not all I was. Don't you know that the Messiah had to suffer? And so he opens up the scripture and shows them that he is the Messiah of scripture, not just a prophet and not just a powerful man, but he is the Messiah. And so as they're walking along, they get to their destination, and Jesus is going to continue to go. He's just going to continue down the road, and they kind of plead with him because they're captivated by his message, and they don't know that it's Jesus that they're walking with, but Jesus is speaking words of truth, and Jesus is different than anyone they've ever encountered before. And so they plead with him to stop and to have dinner with them. As they approach the village, verse 28 says, to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going further, but they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went in and stayed with them. And listen to what happens in verse 30. This is just like Jesus. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. They had been talking with Jesus. What an amazing moment. And he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They were talking to Jesus that whole time, in the moment that they realized that he disappears from their eyes. He was in his resurrected body. He was gone. He didn't just walk away. He was gone. He had walked with them, and he had led them, and he had helped them put the pieces together. And that phrase that they mentioned, they said, were not our hearts burning within us while we talked with us, while he talked with us on the road and opened up the scripture to us. The next thing there on your message notes is that passion for life and ministry come from the Jesus of the Bible. And some of you know exactly that is absolutely true. That the motivation and the passion that we have for ministry in the church of the living God comes directly from Jesus. And it's not just any Jesus, it's the Jesus as revealed to us through the Word of God. That's where the passion for ministry comes from. It's from Jesus. It's this Jesus that died on the cross for us. And they said, as they were talking to Jesus, and Jesus was explaining things, and he was opening the scriptures. That's why I put that little phrase in there, the Jesus of the Bible. Listen, the Bible is the key way that God reveals who Jesus is to us. And so you take that combination of Jesus in the Bible, in the life of a believer, and that's where the passion for life comes from. That's where the passion for ministry comes from, to where we want to live our lives completely devoted and on fire for him, and we want to be his ambassadors in our community, in our families, and in our church for his glory. That's where the passion comes from. It's from Jesus as revealed to us through the Word of God. This last week on Wednesday night, and also this Sunday, this morning in the full Sunday school class, we watched session 2 of Revitalized Church, a church consultation by Tom Rainer. And one of the things that Tom Rainer said was he was focusing on the spiritual aspect of revitalization and how important it is that people would be growing in their faith as the church is revitalized and turned around and goes a good direction. And he mentioned 2 areas of discipleship that are essential. He said prayer and reading the Word of God. That if a church hopes to be revitalized, that those 2 things would be present in the life of the membership and the life of each member, is that they would be praying fervently to God and they would be reading the Word of God. And you can see that coming out in this passage. That's where the passion for revitalization and that's where the passage for ministry and life comes in. It's when we're praying and connecting with God through Christ and we're reading the Word of God and we're allowing the pages of the Word of God to change us. So that's where passion for life and ministry come from. It's the Jesus of the Bible as we pray and as we seek His face. And I sure do hope that you will join me in pursuing what God has for us as individuals, as well as a church, as we pray and as we read the Word and as we passionately pursue Him. We need to have a passion for Christ, and that passion for Christ is going to lead us to having a passion for people through the life of this church. So passion for life and ministry come from the Jesus of the Bible, which leads me to the final thing there on your message notes, is that you can help others put the pieces together. You can help others put the pieces together. And so as they're going along, Jesus is removed from their sight. And after they make this statement, where our heart's not burning within us, while he talked with us on the road and opened up the scripture to us. And then listen to what they do in verse 33. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those with them assembled together. Now it was already nighttime when they were talking to Jesus. And so they get psyched up. They're passionate. Their hearts are burning for Jesus. They start heading back to Jerusalem, that 7-mile walk now. And now they're probably running, and it's probably it's dark now. They found the other 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It's true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the 2 told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Listen, we have the same opportunity that these disciples had to help others put the pieces back together again. We are surrounded by people that are trying to put the pieces of their lives together, just like that jigsaw puzzle that just looks like a mess of pieces, but is being put together piece at a time. We're surrounded by people that are trying to put the pieces together, and we can share with them what God has done in our lives as he has put the pieces together in our life. And we can share the testimony of God's goodness and his grace at work in our lives and how he's changed us. We can testify in his name. And we can be part of how God is changing people by Him working through us. And so these disciples go back and they encourage the other disciples, and they say, it's true, we saw Him on the road, and He taught this amazing lesson from the Old Testament, and He put all these pieces back together, and by the time we figured out it was Jesus, He was gone. He just disappeared. And He was telling them that so that they would be encouraged and so their faith would be strengthened, and we can do the same thing. We can go into the lives of those around us that God has given us influence with, and we can say, listen, let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you how He changed my life and how I went through this hard thing, but Jesus walked with me, and let me tell you how you can have a relationship with that Jesus. And He will be the one to help you put the pieces back together. So that instead of a mess of puzzle pieces that don't make any sense, it turns into this masterpiece that Jesus puts together. Listen, that's what we're about, is allowing Jesus to work that out in our lives, that He puts our lives together. But as He puts our lives together, we can help others put their lives together as we lead people to the foot of the cross. And so we're going to have a moment of invitation after we have a word of prayer. And this is our time to respond to God based on what He has said to us. And maybe you have a piece of your life that is just troubling you. This would be a great time to spend some time in prayer and just trust Him with that detail of your life as you're putting the pieces together. Or maybe, as I've talked about helping others, God has placed on your heart someone that you could help and someone that you could minister to. This would be a great time for you to pray for that person by name before our God that can change lives. And listen, this is also an opportunity if you want to follow through with church membership or baptism, or you have another spiritual decision that you need to make, this is also that time that we can do that. And I'll be standing right here at the front to receive any that would come this morning. And so I'd like for you to stand. And we're going to have a word of prayer, and we're going to have a moment of invitation as we respond to God and what He has said to us this morning. Father, You're such a great God, and You love us so much, and we thank You for Your Son, Jesus, who not only died on the cross for us and saved us, but Father, walks with us and leads us to where we can be change agents for Him. And so, Father, would You meet with us now as we have moments of invitation? Would You burn in our hearts in such a way that You would give us a passion for Christ and a passion for others? So, Father, we thank You and we love You and we look forward to what You're going to do in these moments that we spend together. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.